You are listening to National Security Law Today.
Welcome to National Security Law Today, the podcast of the ABA's Standing Committee on Law and National Security. I'm Elisa Poteet. I'm so glad you're listening to us tonight. We're going to do a quick, short news roundup today for one simple reason. It's spring break almost everywhere if you haven't noticed your empty parking garages. So this week, we wanted to talk a little bit about how the internet is having an impact on national security. You may have noticed in the last few weeks that there was a survey of overall happiness in each nation. And in the United States, we sunk. In fact, at this point, we dropped out of the top 20. And the reasons for that seem apparent. According to social scientists and researchers, it is the impact of social media because the people most reporting unhappiness were the people who use social media the most, younger people. Now, why does this matter? Well, you may or may not be familiar with something called the United Front. It's the propaganda arm of the Chinese Communist Party. So that is something that we're going to talk about in more detail in future podcasts. But they have carried out extensive work over the years. And there's this thing called the Chinese cybersecurity law, which requires any provider in China to give over information to the Chinese Communist Party regarding content and data. We're going to talk a little bit more in the future about this propaganda, the United Front Work Department, it's called. But I thought it might be interesting for you to consider the fact that social media is now rendering us a less happy nation. It seems to be fueling our divisions. And on top of that, it looks like there's no shortage of foreign nations seeking to exploit it. New topic. Israel has killed a top Hamas commander, and it was 5 months into the conflict. But the Wall Street Journal in particular is reporting that Marwan Issa, known as Shadow Man, who is the behind-the-scenes operations guy for Hamas, who Israel, I guess, has tried to reach in the past, has finally been killed. He's one of the top Hamas leaders. How this will impact anything, I don't know. It certainly doesn't appear to be deterring the Israelis as they move on Rafah. All right. Never before seen data wiper. There is a brand new data wiper out there, another piece of Kremlin. This one is believed to be tied to the Kremlin once again. Surprise. And in an organization that 2 years ago took out more than 10,000 satellite modems located mostly in Ukraine. You might remember this occurred right as Russia was invading. Acid Poor is what this one is called, and that's what it's been named for the moment. It was discovered apparently back in March of 2022 when Viasat was a victim. Be aware of this. We'll have some more information on acid rain in coming podcasts. Now, a couple of other little news items, all of which bear directly on national security, but the financial sector is one of the most important sectors to the U.S. economy. Obviously, that includes our banking and investment companies. Nevertheless, it appears that maybe they need some advice because Treasury is issuing a report on managing AI and the cybersecurity risks that are associated with that to the financial industry. Now, that makes me a little nervous. I'm glad Treasury is doing this, but it's also a reminder that the financial sector is run by, for the most part, publicly held companies that have to justify every expense. They have to demonstrate return on investment, shareholder value, and the like. And it's very hard often to explain to boards and shareholders why something unseen, such as a cybersecurity threat, may be such an important expenditure. So hopefully people will look at this very, very broad, very general guidance, but will develop it into more precise protection of the U.S. economic system and the financial sector and hire appropriate qualified cybersecurity companies to assist them in that endeavor rather than relying exclusively on their in-house talent. All right. Now, another alarming trend in national security, and that is the claim that Brussels, referring to the EU, is apparently awash with spies. They've already suffered Qatargate and Chinagate, but bear in mind, Brussels is the host to two, in case you didn't know it, EU institutions, of course, NATO, but also for about 100 other international organizations and 300 foreign diplomatic missions. That's a lot. So it's a point of confluence for any sort of cyber attack. It's also a point of confluence for those seeking to commit espionage on behalf of hostile nations. The EU is concerned right now, particularly von Tiglet. He's the Belgian justice minister, basically. He's like their AG, I guess. He is very concerned that the entire city has come under the influence of significant incursions into their institutions from the Russian Federation. So this, of course, is concerning because we've talked for months now about the significance of NATO to Putin, how he so deeply resents it and believes that he was deceived by the West in the run-up to the expansion and when the wall came down as well afterwards, when NATO expanded significantly under the Clinton administration. So that's our short news roundup this week. We look forward to having a live guest back next week. We'll be covering a number of topics over the coming months. One that I have mentioned to you is the report from the Standing Committee on China from the Hill. But the second one is a series that we're going to do, which has to do with how much of the science fiction that you've read, anywhere from Ursula K. Le Guin to Octavia Butler to any other science fiction book, has tended to portend and reveal cautionary tales about national security, including our over-reliance on impulsive startup founders and executives, and how this could potentially endanger our national security and perhaps how we could right the ship. So anyway, thanks for listening. We're going to look forward to seeing you next week. Remember, if you have the bandwidth, share this podcast with a friend. Talk about some of the news events that I've discussed tonight. And remember that it's our civility, our ability to get along, that is one of the greatest assets we have. We're the most diverse nation in the world, not just in terms of our people, but in terms of our thought. And our ability to cleave to each other and stand together is a significant threat to nations that can't possibly adopt that model successfully. Our writer, producer, and host is me, Elisa Poteet. I'm always here in my individual capacity. My co-producer and of course, the editor of the podcast is Francis Burkham. My other co-producer is Holly McMahon, who is amazing at all times, as well as all the members of the Standing Committee on Law and National Security, who are unfailingly brilliant and filled with wisdom and are the very reason for this podcast. Thanks for listening, and we'll see you next week.
The views expressed on National Security Law Today have not been approved by the House of Delegates or the Board of Governors of the American Bar Association, and this recording should not be construed as representing ABA policy.